This is Questioning Medicine. This is 2015, and today we have a good one. Today we have one we have never done before, or something we've never done before. Joe, any thoughts what it could be?
We are going to hand out free prostate exams.
No prostate exams.
DEXA scans.
No DEXA scans.
Tamiflu candy dispensers?
I love Pez dispensers, not of Tamiflu.
Something. We gotta do something great.
Something great. Today is the first time we are doing a podcast over an email that we got from a listener.
Oh, we're gonna answer questions from people that are questioning medicine.
A lot of questions.
Mind blown. Let's do it.
That's right. All right, we're gonna have Pat take us off. We're gonna give this one our best shot. Heaven would be best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Hit me with your best shot. Fire away. Welcome back to Questioning Medicine. This is Andrew Bill, and I am down here in sunny St. Petersburg, Florida.
This is... This is Joe Weatherly. I think I'm coming down with something, Andrew. I don't feel so good.
Yeah, tell me about your symptoms.
Yeah, I've got a cough.
A little bit of cough, little body aches, little...
I've had maybe a fever. I haven't checked it, but I'm pretty sure because I just don't feel good.
It's always a fever of 102.
Oh. I was thinking a fever of like 99.
You know, that's my favorite, yeah.
A spiked attempt at 99.
Exactly. All right, today, as we mentioned, we are doing something we've never done before. This one, shout out to Jake, Family Med intern in Pennsylvania. So Jake, this one's on the flu shot. Jake sent us a very nice email, and he says a couple things in his email. One of it was, I can't tell you how often I cringe with the frequency of Tamiflu being given. I would agree, Jake. He also has his question of, I have a question regarding the flu vaccine. How can I convince my patients to get it for themselves and their kids, especially when I'm not 100% sold on it after the CDC statement? So we're gonna tackle two things here. Two birds, one stone. First of all, since the Tamiflu podcast, the one that you listen to, I did write a MedPage post. I'll put that in the show notes or add it to the website. You can just search MedPage Today and Tamiflu. It's one of the top couple ones on Google. And since that podcast, there's a new Cochrane review that just came out where Roche has released their trials to the Cochrane review, all the ones that they were refusing to give that I talked about in the podcast. They finally gave them up. In the Cochrane came out with a 500 some page document. In reading it, as you can imagine, I mean, Roche gave over literally 1,000. I mean, some of these trials are 5,000, 10,000 pages long. So to go through that, all that evidence is quite a bit of work. But most of what I said in that podcast still holds true and still is valuable. New pieces of information that kind of came out from Cochrane, just to summarize for you, is that people who had the flu got sick, or got better, I should say. People who got the flu got better, on average, 18 hours earlier than those that didn't get Tamiflu. So instead of getting better at the middle of day 7, you got better roughly by the end of day 6. For what that's worth, I'm not really quite sure, but at least you have the numbers you can tell your patient. The cost is still $125, $120, depending where you're at. And it didn't, as we mentioned that podcast, seem to necessarily be effective for the elderly or those with COPD or heart conditions, which is concerning because those are the people that I would really be concerned about if they came down with the flu. And the numbers needed to harm were 28 for nausea, 22 for vomiting, and 32 for headaches. Just to keep the numbers simple in my mind, I like to use 25. 25 is about the number of people that you will actually cause nausea, vomiting, or headaches by giving the Tamiflu. So they get better 18 hours quicker, but 1 in 25, you are causing side effects.
So you're telling me, Andrew, that for my cough, you're going to give me a medicine that will help me get better during the time that I'm asleep, probably.
Exactly.
And it will cause me to have more nausea and vomiting over the next 6 days.
And it'll cost you $100.
I am seriously interested in that. That sounds great.
I figured as much,
awesome.
Right?
But in some people, you don't have a choice. You know what I mean? The critically ill, those, you know, all kinds of demographics of people that you just have to do something. I mean, there's nothing else. You know, we don't really don't have it. I mean, fluids, you know, a little pat on the back.
That's right.
Maybe a hug from one of the better looking attendings. But that's it. It's all you've got.
Or we hope they don't get the flu because of the flu vaccine. And that is going to be the major dig on this podcast. Let's kick it off here. Jake mentioned in his email, he's has some doubts, especially after the CDC statement. Unfortunately, I don't know exactly which CDC statement he's referring to because they come out all the time and found multiple of them that he could be referring to. And basically, I'll post links to this also on the website, is I found a comment from the CDC just saying that the vaccine effectiveness for this year, which everyone's talking about, is reduced. And that's what's been all over the news and all over the media. And that they still say, listen, we know that it's not working as well, and we'll kind of get over how well it is or isn't working here in a little bit. But we know it's not working. However, there's a little bit of evidence to suggest that vaccination maybe causes a more milder illness. So we're still recommending go ahead and giving it. And there's maybe a little bit of evidence to suggest that prolonged or getting it year after year then gives you better immunity as you're as a older or more mature adult.
Yeah, so, watch it.
That's right.
Watch who you're calling older.
A more mature adult. So go ahead and give it because they can still build up this lifelong immunity. And it's a sticky, sticky situation, this flu vaccine. We'll kind of give you our best summaries. Cochrane has some good reviews, but it's not as clear-cut as we sometimes would hope in some of our podcasts. But we'll get into it.
So a quick summary from this particular article we're talking about, the CDC's recommendations, the CDC guidelines, the CDC studies that they've listed for efficacy and outcomes. Yeah, you can give people the flu shot. There are some demographics where they think it doesn't help a whole lot, probably marginal in the very old and in the very young asthmatics, if you want to buy into, you know, some of the Cochrane review data or analysis. But otherwise, outside of those demographics, it's beneficial. And Jake, if you're still listening, to reward you for your great work in questioning and getting us to do a little bit more digging in this, so tweet us to let us know you're still listening. It's already been like 5 minutes or so. I'm sure you can hold on that
long.
Falling
asleep for sure.
Yeah, so wake up, Jake. Wake up and tweet us at MedQuestioning and at Andrew Bilt. And just mention Tamiflu, mention something.
Mention something. And we have a Questioning Medicine prize for you.
And it's sick. You're going to love it.
That's right.
And we'll probably need your address, so you're going to have to email us that, too. Did we get his address in the email?
We'll get it if he's still listening.
All right, so yeah, then email us again with your address, and Andrew will use his CME stipend to...
send that off.
To send that off.
That's right.
All right.
All right, so the very old, reminding the Cochrane data, probably not very beneficial. The very young asthmatics, probably not that beneficial. However, just the very young in general, probably the most beneficial, which kind of makes sense because the young get sicker more often. I mean, you see kids coming in all the time to the clinics with ear infections and throat infections, and you name it, they're coming. They're always sick. So it makes sense that if it helps even a little bit in adults that get sick very rarely, it's going to make a lot more of a difference in someone who gets sick more often. They have more times to benefit from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this article touches on something which I talked to my infectious disease doctor that here in town, there are more than one, but my favorite. And she said, you know, there's a lasting immunity, even though the virus drifts so much that year to year the vaccination has to change to keep up with it. But what you were vaccinated against last year, you retain. And over your lifetime, you're now retaining many, many, many memory cells that will help fight a future virus similar to them. And we've already had evidences of this in the past in California of people at varying ages, usually the old that have been exposed to it previously or been vaccinated multiple times, that don't get as sick. Their body recognizes it similarly enough that they're able to mount a better response earlier.
It's tough because The elderly didn't really respond to Tamiflu. In looking at the elderly, they don't necessarily mount the same response that we would hope for with the flu shot. But it's kind of like you were saying. I mean, that's the one population that I would say, man, any benefit's better than nothing. Because if you get sick, you know, if the 73-year-old grandma, even normal healthy grandma, that never happens, but the normal healthy grandma gets sick, that could be the beginning of the end. I mean, that could be it for her. Where if the healthy 35-year-old gets sick, probably going to miss a day of work, and then maybe have to buy some extra Gatorade. Nothing probably is, you know, long or consequences I care about. Morbidity, mortality, probably no hard outcomes, I guess. So it's just interesting. And the CDC, as we were doing some research for this, actually just came out with an article, and maybe this is what Jake was talking about if he had a little genie ball that gave him prediction in the future. January 16th, once again, I'll post this link on the website. Joel, if you're listening out there, we are updating how we do the website and how every source now that we mention in this podcast, we'll put a link to on the website. Every source we read, whether we mention it or not, will be in QXMD Read. The app, it's free. Apple, yeah, definitely worth getting. This one is under Flu Vaccine Questioning Medicine Podcast. So obviously in every podcast, there's multiple articles that we read that we just never mentioned because they either weren't worth our time or they just didn't fit in the time allowed. So if you want to see them all, go there. If you just want to see the ones we mentioned here, then go to the website. Anyways, so I'll post this one on there. It's from the CDC, out January 16th, 2015. And it pretty much talks about how effective is this year's flu shot. And they were looking at just over 2,300 children and adults that came into five different study sites. Actually, one is in Pennsylvania. Jake, that's you. Hopefully, maybe that's even your program. Texas, a couple other places, all over the United States. And they looked at these just over 2,300 children and adults that came in with acute respiratory illness. And then they, of these five sites, swabbed them for the flu. They see if they're flu positive, flu negative. Did they get a flu shot this year? And look at the results of how effective is the flu shot for these individuals that are coming in. And they found the effectiveness to be 23%. All right, so the data on this, there was 950 individuals that tested positive, 950 out of 2,300. So that's a pretty good either clinicians at these clinics that are 50% pickup rate on the flu is pretty good, or just under 50, between 40 and 50 is pretty good. But 40% of those 950, 49% of those 950 actually had gotten the flu shot that year. So was it necessarily beneficial in them? Not likely, but
yeah, I've got a couple of problems. I mean, these are poo-poo articles, basically what they mount
it's
to.
It's all poo-poo, really.
No, I'm saying that they're...
said poo-poo on a podcast.
I know. We've come to that. It's that time.
All right.
That's our best shot. That's all we've got.
That's our best shot.
So these articles tend to be used to say the flu vaccine doesn't work, that it only worked 23% of the time. No, that isn't what this says. These are 2,300 people that came in sick. What about the 5.6, and I'm going to borrow SGEM's trademark of putting my finger up next to my mouth and saying 23 billion people that didn't come in sick? What about them? They're not getting swabbed to see if they have the flu or if they got sick that year, because they don't get sick because they got vaccinated and they got vaccinated.
Right. I think that's the key. And that's where this, the dig on this for me was kind of a letdown, is we don't have numbers that we can say if no one got vaccinated, this many people would get.
We don't want those. We do not want to see those numbers.
We don't think.
Because I happen to believe in the power of vaccines based on the prevalence of polio, for example. Right. I think that they work. I think that's fair evidence to say that they work. And if we stop doing polio vaccines just to see if it's been eradicated from the planet, which we know it hasn't.
Right.
Boom! Too many people in America will immediately start having horrible disease processes that are preventable. And this is not nearly as terrible, but it's also very, very easy to tolerate the annual sore shoulder.
Absolutely, I do agree. I do agree with that.
So we won't know the full benefit of the flu shot. What we will know is this is one of the worst years in recent years for matching up the type of H3N2 put in the vaccine, and that happens. It's just a guess.
It is a guess. They guess what is going to be in the flu shot in February. I mean, so
yeah, of last year.
Right, exactly.
Of 2014, and nothing.
Oh, this podcast is going to probably be released at the beginning of February, and that's when they're planning next year's flu shot.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, I know how they do it, and they're brilliant for even getting close some years. And on the years when they hit it out of the park, I don't want to hear anybody ever talk about it again. I mean, if I told my wife, hey, babe, what time's dinner going to be ready? March 17th, 2016. She's going to say 5 o'clock. She's going to be wrong every time. Because nothing ever goes that way. Nothing ever is that predictable. And we're talking about, a plane ride from some guy in the Congo to America that actually brings a different serotype or a different drifted H3N2 than we were expecting, and he happens to have a really pronounced cough, and he goes into JFK, and then he goes into LaGuardia, and then he travels into Tampa General, and all of us are getting sick, and we're all coming to work and spreading it to all of our patients, and that causes the flu epidemic that isn't covered by the flu shot.
So, that brings up a great point, and I know this is another topic that you like. If you look at the Cochrane Review says there's no evidence, or at least not sufficient evidence, to suggest or point out that vaccinating healthcare workers protects those that they're taking care of.
Oh, snap.
You kind of freak out on this.
I freak out. I'm not a nihilist, but sometimes I feel that way. But this is one place I don't. I don't feel like a nihilist because I'm all for these simple vaccinations. We pretty much eradicated the whole autism thing. You know, I did get dumber last month, but I don't think that was from the flu shot. I think that might have just been me. It wasn't autism in adulthood.
It's because you were in Idaho.
Hey, watch it. I wasn't bringing up demographics or geography or anything else, but...
No. So, I'm saying it was, like, literally so cold, you just froze all your brain cells.
I still have a little brain freeze. Frontal lobe, my personality isn't quite back, but... I will say that the weird thing is that we're talking as scientists about something we already know quite a bit about. We're saying that if Andrew gets a shot to stop the flu, but then he gets exposed to it, he will not get a profound infection. That shot is not a miracle force field that keeps it from getting to him. It does not do that. It simply stops him from getting a profound illness. His body will recognize it and start fighting it. But while he's getting infected, Andrew is shedding virus. Andrew's contagious, even though he's not sick like everybody else that gets the flu. So if a doctor like me, during flu season, neglects the things that actually stop infections in a hospital or healthcare setting, which is washing your hands, don't cough into your patient's mouth, and... consider using gel-in, gel-out kind of procedures. If you're not doing that, that's the reason your patients are still getting sick. That's how you benefit them. You don't get... I mean, now granted, after that, you got the flu shot, therefore you're not profoundly ill, and now you've kind of overcome that exposure and you're not shedding anymore, etc. But boy, of course you can still transmit it. Of course you can still have it on your hands and share it with them when you shake their hand. Now, there's nothing to stop that. That's not a flu shot's job.
It's not the flu shot's job to prevent the shedding. It's the flu shot's job...
to make me not get miserable sick. And unfortunately, I don't get so sick. I just get a little sick, maybe. I just feel like, ooh, what happened? And then I'm better. But during that time, I'm shedding. And I go back to work because I'm not that sick.
And we hope. And that's... part of the problem also in this data that we've looked at is it doesn't really address, or most of it doesn't really address the things that we would care. I don't really care if you get sick. If you can still function like you normally do, you don't get put in the hospital, if you can still go to work and you're just a little bit more miserable because you have a head cold or, you know, whatever it may be, don't get me wrong, I care. I don't want you to get that. That'd be awful. That'd be terrible. But if nothing bad happens other than a little 48-hour bug or 72-hour bug, there are worse things in life.
Yeah.
However,
absolutely.
Not much of the data actually looks at does it prevent these hard outcomes that we care about. There is one article that I want to mention because I found it interesting. So here we go. Up in Detroit, factory workers.
Did you just say Detroit factory workers?
Detroit
factory workers. This has already got to be a good study. I like this. This is reflective of my demographic because A, I'm in Detroit.
They're healthy working adults younger than the age of 65, and they were...
All right, that's us.
So factory workers at Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan. I know there's a residency in that town. I think I had a couple of friends that went there. Maybe they're listening. This is back in 2000, and they looked at, this is super interesting, double-blind trial between 97 and 98, and then between 98 and 99. And they looked at either you got the flu shot or you got placebo. And they did this in just at roughly 1,200 people and then randomized them each year. And luckily, as we could only get so lucky in the trial, one year, the flu vaccine in the first year, 97 to 98, the flu vaccine was terrible. It didn't match up very well. Similar to this year, it was kind of a, oops, we didn't get that one quite right. But like I said, they're planning this 8 months in advance. Can't blame them. The next year, 98 to 99, the flu vaccine matched very well. And sidebar, the interesting thing, I think when it matches up very well, I mean, it's never 100%. They never knock it out at 100%. But 60%, considered a pretty good year. That's a pretty good year. Anyways, so going back to this, they looked at these people, and in the year that it wasn't matched up very well, so 97 to 98, if you got the flu vaccine, you missed about a third of a day more work. 1,400 days versus 950 days of illness. Sorry, not missed days of work. I don't want to confuse us. Illness. Lost work was about 40-some percent with 167 days. If you got the flu vaccine, you missed 167 days. If you got placebo that year when it didn't match up, then you only missed 111 days. But then, let's take that vice versa. On the year that it matched up really well, it was about, again, a 50% swing the other direction. So, what do you take away from this? Was it just that one year happened to be really bad since it didn't match up? You match up a bunch of these years and they're all, sometimes they'd be up, sometimes they'd be low. It wouldn't really matter if they got placebo or not, because essentially, when the flu vaccine doesn't match up, you are giving them placebo. You're giving them something that doesn't work. So, you're giving them Tamiflu, if you will. But
how dare you compare the flu shot to Tamiflu?
But I thought that was interesting. It's obviously a smaller trial, just over, 1,200 patients.
Yeah. But interesting thing, too, on that, Andrew, is they did not control those people that were saying they missed work and were saying, and separately, they had the flu shot. How many of those guys were on the ski slopes? How many of those guys got swabbed positive for flu A or flu B in the bad year or the good year?
I think it would be interesting, actually, to look and see if there's any, in 97, 98, if there's any major sporting events, maybe. Maybe there's...
Right. I guarantee you this was like Green Bay, Super Bowl, you know, playoffs. So everybody missed work for the playoff game,
right.
Then the next playoff game, and then the championship. It was like a wild card. Brett Favre comes back from the dead for the 15th time and wins it all. Or throws 7 picks in one freaking quarter.
It's always one or the other.
Yeah.
Wins it all throwing 7 picks.
That was
yeah.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
But Detroit was never good, so they probably went and watched Green Bay.
So that was... It's an interesting study. Being one trial, you obviously can't take that necessarily to practice. But... Overall, what should we tell our patients? What do we tell our patients? What, even this year when the effect of those that get sick is only 23%, we don't know what it is on all those that people that got it, and that would be the actually more interesting number is you know, if we could control, okay, you don't get it, you do get it, and then see where it's at there.
That's exactly what we should do. Let's take the entire state of New York and tell them they cannot have the flu vaccine this year. Or, better yet, keep up with that government conspiracy and just put, like, sugar water in their shots. And then give everybody else in the country the flu vaccine and see what happens in New York. Just see. I mean, that's enough people.
It would be.
That the N would be big enough to find some statistical significance when, well, 12 billion people died in New York today from the flu. And I mean, then we'll be like, wow, that's crazy.
There's a thing called ethics, and you can't do that.
Well, if Ford Motor Company can get away with it, why can't we?
It was the 90s. You can get away with anything in the 90s.
It's New York. I mean, you can get away with anything in New York. I think I remember a certain, you know, governor that got away with quite a bit in New York.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
All right. So take home. What am I doing in practice? What do I think about this? Jake, I know I sent you an email kind of stating this, but I'll just say it out there for the world to hear, or at least the five people listening to this right now. So we have a 23% benefit in those who got sick. So if you came in sick, you have 23% relative benefit. Meaning, roughly, if I have 10 people come in sick, or 10 people that are flu positive, I can prevent two of those. I can go from 8, or you know, from 10 to 8. That's relatively good numbers, even though overall the numbers, it sounds like we missed the whole thing. But we're still helping 2 out of every 10. Those are pretty good numbers. When you look at numbers around things like really almost anything for primary prevention, there is nothing actually that I can think of immediately for primary prevention that can measure up to this. Once again, it's still not the best, and yep, we missed it this year. But every 10 people that come in with the flu, if I give them all the flu shot, 2 of them are going to be helped. That's a pretty good benefit. When we're talking about maybe a missed day from work, a missed day at work is going to cost you a lot more than a $20 flu shot from Walgreens or wherever you decide to get it. So I tell my patients, go ahead and get it. Because even on years like this, when you miss it, or when you, meaning the CDC, misses it, when you miss it, you're still helping probably more with giving that flu shot than you are for statins and all these other things that we're trying to do for primary prevention that are, you know, helping 1 out of 100, 1 out of 125. If you want to look at really crazy things, getting to screenings, colonoscopies, the numbers get incredibly high. And for this to still be pretty good among those that come in sick, let alone what are the numbers for those that didn't come in sick? Because that's what we don't have. And that would be nice, but I don't think we'll ever get that because ethics, and it might kill or put a large number of hospitals in severe danger because they can't hold, no hospitals built to hold 15,000 patients.
Yeah, and we, unfortunately, every year we lose in the tens of thousands of people to the flu, every year. Yeah. Despite vaccination, despite great healthcare, fluids, Tamiflu, the works. No matter what we do with everything we've got, we're still losing people to what I'm hoping to someday will be a completely preventable disease process or an infection. Now, to go back on that,
we lose them, just to clarify, we lose them with the flu. They may not die because of the flu.
Yeah.
But that might have been what started the sepsis, which started
absolutely. I mean,
the pneumonia.
The number of people that die just from the flu with completely healthy is probably like 50,000 in the last 10 years. Totally healthy, just got the flu and keeled over. But
by definition, you have the flu, you're not healthy.
Well, before that.
Okay.
All right, so we've got people. And, you know, to go back in and say, you know, that's its weakness, is that we're using a population. We're talking about a group of people. Unless we want to go zombie apocalypse and put a wall around the entire United States with no immigration, you know, you're going to get new strains, new drifted viruses that are going to come from our friends in Canada or from overseas travelers, or, heaven forbid, somebody flies from Western Africa into Dallas, Texas, with a new strain of something and then start spreading it like mad there. Because we know that would never happen. But you can't prevent those with the flu vaccine. It's too much, too many people, too many factors. So we can say Tamiflu is the only other thing that's been studied to prevent the flu, and its number needed to treat are Chuck Norris. They are infinity. Prophylaxing them with Tamiflu did not stop confirmed pneumonias.
No.
But the flu shot's our next best thing. So we've got the flu shot. We can give it, even on years when it's only 23% effective, and on other years when it's probably closer to 60 or 70% effective. I think that's our best shot, and you might get a lasting immunity from it that someday may pay off. But you'll never know. That's the best part. You'll never know because you just won't get sick.
I agree. Do you have anything else?
I think that was our best shot.
That was.
And I think going back with the godmother of rock and roll and electric guitars is a great way to do this because we're probably talking to the people old enough to know who she is, to know who Pat Benatar is.
We have three people listening.
Right, that's my mom. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, my mom knows who Pat
Benatar is. My dad,
She listens to her still. She loves it. It's like, you know, the good stuff. Vinyl. You know, you got that big, fat... Anyways.
Right, we're rambling.
Yep.
We got a lot of exciting things coming up in 2015. We are working just for a lot of things. I don't want to give anything away quite yet. A lot of things are in the works, though. We'll definitely keep you posted. Definitely follow us on Twitter. Jake, you got to get on there. You got to join the foam movement if you're not already. And anyone else who's listening to this, join the foam movement. Follow us on Twitter. Once again, Joe is at MedQuestioning. I am at Andrew Bilt, B-U-E-L-T. And
bottom line, get your flu shot.
I agree. Until next time, keep the quest in questioning.